CTV.
Why aren't there more members in the body of Christ? Why isn't the body of Christ more organized than it is? Why don't we have actual church buildings? Why don't we have presidents and worship leaders and church planting teams? I am going to answer these questions and more today on MZTV. I am Martin Zender. That's what the MZ stands for at the beginning of the acronym MZTV. That is me, Martin Zender. TV is television. Strictly not television, but by the miracle of the internet, I am able to speak to you all over the world. Speaking of all over the world, we have a new subscriber in Mongolia. Welcome to our world here. And it is a world. It's not a big world, but it is a beautiful world. It is a living world. And I'm going to explain that to you folks today. And, the church planting movement in Christianity, it's like they have drafted the plans to a war, to take over various territory. It is completely strategic. It is based upon the potential for growth. This is all that the world thinks about is growth. Whether it's the Christian world, the corporate world, the educational world, everybody wants more. Everybody wants to add another notch to their belt in whatever they're doing. And they suppose that if anything ever decreases, if their numbers go down, or if enthusiasm for their particular organization wanes, they always look at that as a sign that they are doing something wrong. They have to regroup, they have to get their acts together, and they have to correct it, because we all know that God wants nothing but growth. Is that so? Is that true? Any cursory glance at scriptural precedent will tell you that any true movement of God, while it doesn't not grow, it grows at a pace that is embarrassing to anyone who lives by the world's operational motto, which is more is better and bigger is better. For instance, what church planting team would go to, let's say, Mongolia and say, we need to increase our Mongolian contributions. We need to go to Mongolia and find two people or one person. No, they don't do that because it's not practical. It doesn't trigger other growth. They're always looking, the man-made churches, they're always looking at what will trigger new growth. They're always looking ahead. I'm telling you, it's a conquering campaign. Yesterday, and in my newsletter on Sunday, I compared, who else has the audacity to do this, but I compared Christianity to Nazism, and I stand by that, and it's even more applicable here in the church planting movement, because the Nazis wanted to take over the world. That was a simple goal. They got up in the morning. How do we take over the world? That's what they wanted to do. Christians are engaged in the same thing. They want to take over the world. They want to Christianize every man, woman, and child. Why? Because they want everybody to believe in Jesus? No, because if you tell them that everybody eventually is going to believe in Jesus, they hate it, like I told you before. They don't like that message that God is the salvation, that's the Savior of all. Then why are they going out trying to plant churches and make everybody a disciple? It's because, pardon me here for seeing it this way, but I think it's true, it's because they want power and they want influence. Power and influence. It's like any other political movement. It's not organic. It's not really for the people. It's for the growth of the organization, and it's for the hierarchy to feel satisfied, to feel that they are making a difference in the world. But I dare say that each one of us is making a difference in the world, but the difference is made in the growth of God, in accord with God's timing, not the timing of humans. I look at Jesus Christ's ministry. I mentioned scriptural precedent. His ministry went from great to not so great to terrible to OMG, he's on the cross and all his friends have fled. And yet it was the most spiritual work on the planet. The Apostle Paul, yeah, he had his heyday. He was traveling around. Yes, he was starting ecclesias, but he was not so much, follow this. Now, he was not so much starting ecclesias as he was responding and going to places where word had it that there were people coming into a belief in his gospel. In other words, it wasn't his design to go out and make a movement of God happen. Movements of God happen organically. They happen, just call me Mr. Obvious, by God. Movements of God, they happen in God's timing and in God's growth. And I'm going to give you a scripture on that here shortly. So I'm not saying Paul did not go places and herald. Of course. I mean, the guy went to Mars Hill, which was that day's Oprah show, or it was that day's talk show, Ellen DeGeneres. So that was, and I'm not calling Ellen DeGeneres because of her sexual orientation. I'm not. I don't want anybody to think that. I'm calling her Ellen DeGeneres because of the worldwide scope and the disposition to do anything possible to grow the brand, the Ellen brand, and to send it all over the world. What was TBN all about? The Trinity Broadcasting Network. They wanted to broadcast to every man, woman, and child. So Christianity, it wants to take over the world. It wants to take over the world. It literally wants to take over the world. Again, not because it loves the world, but because it wants to increase its own power and influence. That's a great personal achievement, and it is a great boost to the ego. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we as members of the body of Christ, we have to have tough egos, because God has not planned for us to take over the world now. In fact, Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, "If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would be running to my aid, yet my kingdom is not of this world." He said this in response to Pontius Pilate saying, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Well, you would have no power whatsoever unless God had given it to you. And there was our Lord stripped down before the great almighty Roman Empire, and the empire that was numerous, that was influential on the planet, I mean the Roman Empire, it's famous even today, and yet we look back at our Lord standing there, dressed hardly at all, he's a prisoner, and all his disciples, his friends, which got fewer and fewer and fewer, the closer he got to the cross, they have fled, and now he's standing alone, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." World being the Greek word behind it is cosmos. It is the arrangement, the system, the way things are run. Back to Ellen. The way things are run in this world is that your success is measured by the number of people you get, by the influence you have, and by the potential you have for growth. It's all about growth, growth, growth. Which is not to say that we don't want growth, but our growth comes at the pleasure and the timing and the supernatural genius of God. I do nothing. I repeat, I do nothing to promote these YouTube videos of mine. They go out there. I do take the time and the trouble to put them on a public forum known as YouTube. And it is up to God at that point to make it grow. I don't actively hands-on steer it, which I'm not saying that would be bad. I'm not saying it's bad to put some money into promote something. We put a little bit of money behind certain videos just to see what happens, to give it a little push. But I'm very uncomfortable walking out into those waters because it's so easy, being human beings that we are, it's so easy to want to manipulate something, to want to think that we know where it should go, to whom it should go. And it is more comfortable for me to think that I'm doing my part and I'm putting it out and then God causes it to grow. What did Paul say concerning the evangel? I plant, Apollos waters, God causes the growth. So yes, I'm not saying that planting is not a scriptural word. But once you plant something, that is once you give the evangel to someone or to a group of people. I've spoken to groups of people in a living room, some people not acquainted yet with the evangel. I want to plant the evangel in them. Paul says, I plant, Apollo waters. So Paul plants and he gets the hell out of town. That's me. I kind of, you know, pull the pin out of the hand grenade, roll it into a room, and then I leave. I leave the room. Let me know how the explosion goes, okay? Report back to me. That's fine. Somebody else in that ecclesia will get together with those people and cause the seed. They will water it. Won't cause it to grow. They will water it. God causes it to grow. I just used the word ecclesia there. Some of you may not realize that this is the Greek word that is translated church in many versions. I don't like the translation church because it carries such baggage of a human organization. Let's go to church. You don't go to church. You are the church. A church is not a building. It's a group of people. This is a beautiful word in the Greek. I'm going to get to the scriptures here. Hang on. It's a two-part Greek word, ekklesia. Ek is out. Ek, out. Klesia is called. This word literally means called out. It's any group of people called out. Called out from where? In this case, called out from the world at large. God's people are called out from the world at large. How many times have people told you, you need accountability? You need a pastor over you. You need a bishop. You need a formally educated person who is professionally trained, who can keep you in the Word of God. That's why you can't exist without church. Oh my goodness, my answer to this is always, isn't Jesus Christ being the head of the body, isn't that enough? They accuse us of not having a head. You see, we're not very organized, and we don't have a system. We don't have a building. This is because this is totally freelance. This is thrust upon God. It is put in His lap. We plant, and we water, and then we say, God, it's up to you. And God's the one who causes this thing to grow. And again, I just don't want to overhandle it, over manipulate it. And so, yes, there's the planters, there's the waterers, and it's God that takes over from there, and He surprises us all the time. So ecclesia is outcalled, a group of people called out from the world. It's a living, vital organism. It exists. It's real. The body of Christ is not just some haphazard thing with no head, no direction. It's not. And God appoints pastors and teachers and evangelists, those who operate in the body of Christ. This should excite you because the body of Christ is a stealth organization. It's not recognized. It's not tax exempt status. It's not something that the world would look at and say, that's a wonderful business model. No, our business model sucks. We don't have a business model. Our leader is Jesus Christ. He is operating in the body to keep it together, unifies it, or lets it articulate each member with one another. And He appoints teachers and evangelists. They're appointed by Him. They're not formally trained. They've gone through the school of hard knocks. They've studied scripture for 30 or 40 years, and they've been tempered, and they've gone through the fires of trial and perfected and then brought to the ecclesia. And God says, here is your gift. I'm giving you this teacher. I'm giving you this evangelist. I'm giving you this pastor. What's the difference? A pastor takes care of one's physical needs, cares for the daily comings and goings of the members of the body of Christ, more of a comforter. The teacher is the guy who pulls the pin on the hand grenade, rolls it into the room, and says, sayonara. And the evangelist is one who goes into, like breaking the ice, goes to places where the word has never been heralded, and tries to put out, doesn't try, forget trying. The evangelist goes out and he puts the word out. He doesn't try, he does it, or she does it. Like Paul in Athens. Boom. There's the evangel, or part of it, as much of it as you can handle. Then he walks away. So great following Paul's career on Mars Hill. This aspect of his career. Paul doesn't know who's going to come. Paul doesn't know who's going to respond to the message. He hasn't sent a team ahead to make notes, to, you know, get the lowdown on the audience. Okay, here's the breakdown, Paul. We have 16% between 20 and 25. We have 5% in this age group. The demographics, Paul, here's the breakdown. We think that if you say this, it'll appeal to the over 40s. This is what the organized church is doing. They're breaking this down of how to take over the world by demographics. They're not going into Mongolia. They're going into colleges. They're going into large cities because they want it to grow according to their blueprint, according to what they think it should do. And when they get their monthly reports, why, we're not growing in accord with our projections. Oh, yeah, they have projections. We project 5% growth in this area. What's happened? Call our people in. There's been a failure in the system here. There's a weak link somewhere down the line. Bring them into the office. We need to find out why it's not growing over here. Folks, with our evangel, it might not be growing over there, but that's not our responsibility. The word went out over there. There were just no responsive souls over there. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We'll wring our hands over it and say, there should be growth over here. Why isn't there? I don't know if there should be growth over there. You got the city of Los Angeles, and you might have one member of the body of Christ in the whole frickin' city. Then you got Mongolia over here, and you have two or three believers in Mongolia. Three times the number of believers as is in L.A. Who but God could do this? What human being would want to do it this way? But just as Jesus Christ marveled at how few people he was reaching. Yes, oh my God, one of my favorite parts in the scriptures. When Jesus Christ is at a point in his ministry where he's frustrated. And people are starting to leave him. He's putting out some hard sayings. And yeah, every ingredient existed for him to be discouraged. And he was, because he was a human. And yet, at that time, he lifts his hands into heaven and says, Lord, my God, I thank you that you have hidden these truths from the wise and the intelligent, and you give them to babes, to minors. You give them to people you want to give them to. And you just walk. And you don't look behind you to see if you're successful. You look behind you and you see that, oh, look, God brought somebody from here. God brought three people from there. And it's so wonderful knowing that the growth is in the growth of God. Promise you to get to the scriptures. My voice, I'm telling you, the more excited I get, the more animated I get, the more this thing goes to smash. I tried to fix it before I started, like, me. It went very badly. It's deteriorating. And Colossians 2, let no one be judging you in food or in drink, or in the particulars of a festival, I'm in Colossians 2:16, or of a new moon, or of Sabbaths, which are a shadow of those things which are impending. Yet the body, listen to this, the body is Christ's. It's not mine. It's Christ's. It's not Paul's. It's Christ's. Let no one be arbitrating against you who wants in humility and the ritual of the messengers to parade what he has seen. Parade. Everybody wants to boast in what they have. They want to parade their attainments in the evangel, which always in the world has to do with numbers and money and power. being puffed up in his fleshly mind, not holding the head. Not holding the head. The head is Christ. If you hold the head, then he's the boss of the growth. To hold the head means to give it all over and say, look, I just pulled that pin on the grenade. I rolled it in. It's up to you who gets blasted with the blessed gunpowder. Yes, the blessed gunpowder from the holy hand grenade. I wish to roll the hand grenade into a large group of people and to have the holy hand grenade blast the wonderful evangelistic powder of God's truth. We hold the head, out of whom the entire body, speaking of the head, out of whom the entire body being supplied, God supplies it, it's organic, our head is invisible, that's the problem. Where's your leader? Somebody might come to us and say, take me to your leader. Well, our leader is Jesus Christ. He hasn't been down here for 2,000 years, but his spirit operates in every member of his body, and he does things through the body of Christ, but it's his operation. He actually infuses it with spirit. At that time, the person who said, take me to your leader, will say, show me the door. Show me the door. You people are crazy. And they think we're crazy because they think we have no visible. And we don't. We have no visible leader. Our leader infuses us with spirit, which is invisible. Can be frustrating at times. But listen to this, and I'll close with it. The entire body being supplied and united through the assimilation. Now, that's a word I could go into here. He's using a digestive metaphor here, having to do with how energy gets to the muscles through the cell walls. I'll get into that some other time. Hell of an analogy. It's a gastro analogy. Sorry I mispronounced it, because it's the first time this word has been uttered in the history of humanity. Nobody's ever said gastro analogy. I have it down now. I have it down pat. Here's the key verse. End of 19, beginning of 20. United through the assimilation and ligaments. See, now he's getting physiological on us. Even anatomical. Ligaments. We'll talk about that someday soon. It's growing in the growth of God. There it is. The body of Christ is growing in the growth of God. It's his timing. It's his degree of success. Of course we want success, but he's in charge of it. He's also in charge of the failure. And if you look at scriptural precedent, you will find some great, amazing spiritual people, chief of which would be Jesus Christ, who by all apparent indicators and markers was a failure as an evangelist while he was on the earth. And yet, he's done pretty well since then. And yet, even now, there are very, very, very few members of the body of Christ. Whose fault is that? It's nobody's fault. In fact, it's a credit to God, because he loves this whole David and Goliath thing, where he takes the weakest and the least celebrated, and he uses that insignificant little body to, in the fullness of times, reach the outermost reaches of the universe.